Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of John. I'll be reading John chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know my Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the word of God.
Okay, thank you, Axel, for reading the text for us today. Good morning, and a very warm welcome to our BB and GB companies. They have been here the past 2 days, and today is the third day. Very tired, right? I can see on their face. And brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. In case you do not know me, my name is Serene. I'm one of the pastors in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Let us come before God and pray for His Holy Spirit to guide us today. Dear God, we praise you, for you are in our midst. Guide us with your Holy Spirit and convict us that you are the only good shepherd who died for us to give us abundant life. Speak to us so that we can hear your voice and respond to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let me start by giving you a quiz. Okay, what is the most used social media platform in the world in 2023? Is it Twitter? Is it Instagram? Facebook? TikTok? Who say is TikTok? So few. Okay. Who says Instagram? Oh, okay, the youth. Who say is Twitter? Oh, one at the back. Who say is Facebook? Nobody. The answer is... Okay. Give you the answer already. Okay, where? How? Kanjong already. Okay. The answer is... Facebook. Okay. You think I bluff you, right? 2.9 million active user, according to the Forbes advisor. Okay, second question. What is the most used social media by the youth in 2023 in the US? In the US, huh? What is it? Is it TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, or YouTube? Who say is TikTok? Oh, okay. Who says is Instagram? Nobody, huh? Who say is YouTube? Snapchat? Oh, okay. The answer is YouTube. According to the Pew Research Center in the US, 95% use YouTube, 67% TikTok, 62% on Instagram. Even though we do not have the local statistic, those figures should not be too far from our local trend. I ask these two questions is to help us to see that we are following the social media a lot in our current era. Okay, based on the research last year, there were estimated 4.9 billion people across the world using social media platforms. And about half of it, which is 2.68 billion people, are active users of YouTube. Of course, on our own, we have different things in the social media we are following. Some are following their favorite actors and actresses. Others are following a certain brand of products. Still others following what is trending or channels that appeal to their hobbies like cooking, knitting, bird watching, just to name a few. Other than the social media, there are numerous different things in this world people follow. The hottest this past week will be Taylor Swift, the American superstar who had her Eras Tour concert in the National Stadium. All these things we follow may not necessarily be bad. In fact, some are pretty good stuff. But have we ever thought through what are something we would follow and what are things that we shouldn't? How much time should we be spending on following them? And are these things influencing our thoughts, our emotions, and our well-being? In fact, an article published by CNA last year with the heading, "The Big Read, Teenagers Hook on Social Media, What's the Cost to Their Mental Health?" In this article, an interviewee, Rebecca, who is 16 years old, said, and I quote, "From being shown a tearful video about a dog dying to someone cracking a joke in the next, it was scary." She said, "It was scary. She could go from crying to laughing within seconds, as she did not have enough downtime between the videos to fully process what she had watched." And she also said, "It's kind of scary because you begin to neglect your other priorities, and minutes can turn into hours very quickly." She said, she compared the social media to drugs that under the disguise of entertainment. referring to the infinite scrolling on all the apps she has. If we think deeper into the things that we are following in our lives, many a times we follow blindly without giving much thought to what and who we are following. For those of us who are already Christian for a while, sometimes we are not even aware of our detour in following Jesus. Whether it is the social media, our favorite actors or actresses, Netflix, dramas, or something that we think could satisfy our hearts, could any of these things really give us satisfaction that lasts? In fact, last night's news reported that there is a looming sense of emptiness among the fans as Taylor Swift's concert draws to an end. Do you sometimes feel like you are lost? Like there is a sense of aimlessness? You do not know what and why you are doing it, but you just need to do it. If you ever had this lost feeling, you are not alone. Sheep are like us. They like to follow. Of all the domesticated animals, sheep are most dependent of all. Sheep will spend their entire day grazing, wandering from place to place, never looking up. If they do not have a shepherd, they often become lost. Even if they have a shepherd, the tendency of getting lost is there. They also have no homing senses, no homing instinct, as other animals do. That means they are totally incapable of finding their ways to their sheepfold, even when it is in plain sight. That's why there's a term for them, the lost sheep. Sheep are utterly dependent upon the shepherd who tends them with care and compassion. Shepherds are the providers, guides, protectors, and constant companions of sheep. In the Middle East, sheep normally have a strong relationship with their shepherd. So close was the bond between shepherd and sheep that to today, the Middle Eastern shepherds can divide flocks that have mingled at the well or during the night simply by calling their sheep's names. The sheep respond and follow their shepherd's voice. Shepherds were inseparable from their flock. In the ancient day, there are two types of sheepfolds. Let's talk about the first type. It is a bigger sheepfold, normally in the cities or villages, where it could hold many flocks of sheep at night, but has only one door as the entrance. A gatekeeper will be there to guard the door at night and only admit the shepherds who comes in the morning to call their sheep and bring them out to graze. A true and good shepherd loves and cares for his sheep. He knows them by name. He will call his sheep, and the sheep will also recognize the shepherd's voice and responds to him. The shepherd will lead them out and goes in front of them to bring them to the pasture or still water for them to graze and drink. The sheep knows the shepherd's voice and will follow him. In life, we could be like sheep, feeling lost and getting lost all the time. Nothing will truly satisfy our deepest need. We always seem to want more of something. Jesus knew it. He has pointed out that we need a good shepherd to love us, to protect us, to provide for us, to be with us, and to have a close relationship with him. For those of us who have been a Christian for a while or for many years, we know we need a good shepherd because there are times when we function as if we do not need a shepherd. We go about our daily activities on our own strength. We make decisions without thinking about consideration or thinking about God's will. Or worse, sometimes we act in ways that we think are fine, but to God it is not. Therefore, we constantly need this good shepherd to guide us because we are like sheep, always wander away. And to our BB boys and GB girls, how do you know you need a good shepherd? For instance, some of you in your Sec 4 or those taking the national examination this year, this is an important year. You might feel anxious. Maybe you feel that no one seems to understand your stress and you are fighting this battle alone. Yes, you need a shepherd who has a close relationship with you to love you, guide you, and be with you. This is just one of the numerous occasions we all need a good shepherd. Now, if we acknowledge we are like sheep that need to follow a good shepherd, then we need to know how to look for this good shepherd. Jesus told his listeners in this passage, there are three types of people who want the sheep. First group is the thief and robber. They are utterly wicked who try to harm the sheep. Verse 10, Jesus said, the thieves comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Verse 8 says, all who come before me are thieves and robbers, pointing that there were false prophets who came before Jesus and seemingly guiding them like a shepherd, assumed they were from God, but led the sheep astray. If we read the Old Testament, we would notice that the false prophet would tell the people of Israel they were the representatives from God. But God, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14 says, and the Lord said to me, God spoke to Jeremiah, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them or speak to them. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds. Even in our modern days, there were many false prophets who came professing to be our savior. There was a cult called the People's Temple, which was founded by Jim Jones. He taught his follower a blend of Christianity, socialism, and communism, with an emphasis on social equality. He eventually attracted several thousand followers. In the year 1978, there were more than 900 followers, together with Jones, the founder, killed themselves. Later, there were research and investigation done, only to find out that there were many people who were murdered by Jones instead of committed suicide. There were many such cases whereby the founders claimed to be the savior and promised to give them different things. But from history, we found that theirs were all empty promises. Many of the followers ended up sacrificing their lives. Thieves and robbers only come to steal and kill and destroy. The second group is the hired hand. These are those who only take care of the sheep when it's convenient and safe. They work for wages. Their main concern are not the sheep, but their own interests. They will flee from danger when danger comes. It is recorded for us in verses 12 and 13. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. There could be people in our life who were supposed to take care of us, but in view of their own interests, deserted us. It is painful when it happens. But Jesus assures us that he is the good shepherd who is different from these two groups of people above. In this passage, Jesus was trying to give us the contrast between the good shepherd and the rest of the people. In a way, he was telling his listeners and us that apart from the good shepherd, the owner of the sheep, no one could give the sheep abundant life. Now, who is Jesus? In verses 7 and 8, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." What does it mean by "I am the door of the sheep"? Earlier, I told you there are two types of sheepfolds. One could be found in the cities and villages to hold many flocks of sheep. The second type will be like this: sheep pens in the countryside. This type of sheep pens are nothing more than a rough circle of rocks piled into a wall with a small open space to enter. Through it, the shepherd would drive the sheep at nightfall. Since there were no gate to close, just an opening, the shepherd would keep the sheep in and wild animals out by lying across the opening. He would sleep there, in this case, literally becoming the door of the sheep. You have a better idea now that you see this light. In other words, Jesus was saying that he not only is the shepherd of the sheep, but he is also the door of the sheep to watch over them, protect them, and save them. Right after telling us that he is the door, in verses 10 and 11, he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." An abundant life here does not mean huada, or that Jesus would give us all our worldly pursuit in abundance. Things like material possession, fame, achievement, recognition, popularity, and accomplishments. Abundant life from Jesus means something eternal, something that will last us till eternity. He gives us a life that can live with him through eternity. I know it sounds somewhat abstract for a lot of us. However, we will grow to appreciate it more when we know Jesus more. The Bible in John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So yes, eternal life is part of the abundant life that Jesus promises to give us. Other than having an eternal life in the time to come, our abundant life can start here on earth. In order to live an abundant life in this fallen world full of cruelty, injustice, and suffering, he gives us the identity to be God's children and equip us with his character so that inwardly we are satisfied and secure knowing who we are in Jesus. His characters include the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not that we will immediately become like an angel or a saint, but we will be on this journey to be more like Jesus. As we walk this journey, there will be time, even if our world surrounds us is falling apart, we could still have our lives with live our lives with peace within. He will give us strength to do that. Do you want the abundant life that Jesus offers, or the abundance in life but feeling lost within? On what authority does Jesus have to give us abundant life, you may ask? Well, Jesus was the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. As stated in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When danger comes, only a good shepherd will lay down his life to save his sheep. The ultimate danger that Jesus was talking here is sin. We are all sinners who have sinned and still have the tendency to sin. And we cannot save ourselves from it. Perhaps we consider ourselves not a bad person after all, but who among us dare to admit that we had not lied or had no bad thoughts before? In fact, the fact is, we are powerless to overcome sin. The sins in us separated us from God, just like this slide shown. Sins created a gap between us and God. Jesus is without sin, but he chose to die on our behalf. You see, God is a holy God. All of us who had sinned will face the punishment of death. When Jesus said he laid down his life for his sheep, it was referring to his death on the cross where he was crucified. Jesus said in verse 18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." And it was through his death on the cross that we can be reconciled and be reunited with God. His love is a sacrificial love. There was a true story told of what happened in World War II. A group of Americans, prisoners of war, were made to do hard work in a prison camp. Each prisoner had a shovel to dig all day. Then, at the end of the day, each would give an account of his tool. On one evening, 20 prisoners lined up and the shovels were counted. The prisoner's guide counted 19 shovels and turned angrily to the 20 prisoners, demanding to know who did not bring his shovels back. No one responded. The guard took out his gun and said that he would shoot 5 of them if the guilty prisoner did not step forward. For a moment of tense silence, a 19-year-old soldier, similar to the age of many of our youth here today, stepped forward with his head bowed down. The guard grabbed him, took him to the side and shot him in the head, and he died. And the guard turned to the prisoners and warned them to be more careful with their tools. When he left, the man counted the shovels and there were 20. The guard miscounted. And the boy had given his life for his friends. Can you imagine the emotions that must have filled their hearts as they knelt before his body? The boy chose death so that others might live. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." To love, to choose, is to choose suffering for the sake of another. Jesus, the good shepherd who loves us, had chosen to lay down his life for all of us here, so that by believing in him, the good shepherd, we could have an abundant life. Unlike the two groups above, Jesus, the good shepherd, loves us deeply. He knows that we are lost like sheep. Only with him, the good shepherd, we will be safe. He will walk with us, guide us, protect us when we listen to his voice and follow him. Jesus is looking for his sheep today. In verse 16, it reads, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Here, Jesus said, there are sheep that are not in his sheepfold yet. It means there are people who do not know that Jesus is their good shepherd. He said he must bring them into the fold. He wants to take care of them. He wants to love them like the shepherd in this slide, carrying his sheep so lovingly on his shoulder. The sheep looks so secure and satisfied. Jesus is looking for you today. Did you hear Jesus' voice? He's calling for you. He knows you by name. If you heard Jesus' voice today, please respond to him. I will give all of us some time to think about it. When we have our worship team to sing the song of response, as you sing, ask yourself, did you hear Jesus' voice? After the song of response, I will give us some time to respond and close in prayer. Come, Naita, lead us.
I am yours forever and ever. Now let us bow our heads while I give us time for us to respond. I want to ask two groups of people. First group is those of you, if you are already a Christian, but you feel that you have drifted away from the Good Shepherd, wandering on your own for a while. You want to respond to Jesus and tell him that you heard his voice today. You want to follow him and come back to his sheepfold. If this is you, you may raise your hand. Anyone? If you heard Jesus' voice today and you want to come back to Jesus, I see your hands. You may put down your hands. Anyone? Anymore? Do not harden your heart if you hear his voice today. Raise your hand and I will pray for you. Anymore? Thank you, I see your hands. Come, let's pray. Dear God, Lord Jesus, you see all the hands that are raised. Even those that want to raise their hands but did not raise their hands. You know their hearts, Lord. I pray for all my brothers and sisters who feel your prompting today. They know that you have been waiting for them. Without you, their lives are at a loss. Help them. Help them to make a commitment to follow you daily, to come back to you. Draw near to them as they draw near to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The second group are those who are not in Jesus' sheepfold. Those who are not Christian yet. If you heard Jesus' voice today, and you want to give your life to this good shepherd who loved you and died for you. If you want to become a child of God and become a Christian today, if this is you, please raise your hand. If you want to be a child of God, you want this good shepherd, please raise your hand. I know you may feel embarrassed, you may be struggling to answer God, but remember, it is not responding to me. You are responding to Jesus. Anyone who wants to ask Jesus to be in your life today, you may raise your hand. If you want to be a child of God, you want to receive Jesus today into your life, you can pray this prayer with me. Pray after me. Dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you that you know my name. I admit that I am a sinner and have done many things that don't please you. Please forgive me. I know that Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd who died for me. I want to invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to be a child of God. Please be with me. In Jesus' name. Amen. For the BB boys and the GB girls, please fill in a response slip later when your officers or your befrienders pass it to you. Can I trouble the officers and the befrienders to collect the slip back later?